Open your Bibles to
John chapter 10. That's where we're going to find our text for this evening. I want to start this lesson by asking you a question. What would it take for you to be a shepherd? Well, let's just say 5 or 6 sheep. What would that take? You're thinking to yourself, well, I'd either need to be a lot younger, I need to have a bigger spread, I need to be older, I need to have education about sheep, I need to have some experience, I need some money to either get pasture or to buy used, get additional feed. I'd need a lot of time, I think, if I was going to be a shepherd. That daily work, that daily grind of solving sheep problems, putting all the blood, sweat, and tears, all that experience. But maybe one of the biggest things that we would need, and you're probably going to agree with this, it's commitment, isn't it? Because, I mean, who wants just to have 5 or 6 sheep? I don't see a lot of hands going up. And that's it, right? 5 or 6 sheep is going to be for you, and for a lot of us sitting here, we're thinking, that's a ginormous headache. I not only would not want to buy 5 or 6 sheep, I don't want people to give me sheep. Unless we're playing like Settlers of Catan or something. And then, okay, I'll probably trade for sheep or something. But that's probably the biggest thing that we need, is our level of commitment. We're going to have such a love and such a passion to do all the things that a shepherd does. Early in the morning, late at night, all the ways in which a shepherd is going to care for his sheep. And to understand all the things that a shepherd does, and as we go through this parable, that's going to give us just a little bit of idea of what Jesus is talking about within this parable of the shepherd and his flock. But for us to understand who he's speaking, the question that he's trying to answer, we need to figure out what the question is. And so what I want us to do first is look at the end of chapter 9. The end of chapter 9 is going to set the stage for what happens in chapter 10, and it's going to tell us what the question is that Jesus is answering with the parable. In verse 35 of chapter 9, we've seen this long dialogue in chapter 9 about the man who was healed from blindness. And Jesus, in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out of the synagogue, and when he had found him, he says to this man, he says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And here's the question. "Who is he? Who is he, sir?" The man asked, "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." When the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Now we set the stage for the audience. The audience is then in verse 40. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? What? Are we blind too?" Jesus says, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." So we understand what the question that Jesus is going to answer in this parable, and we understand now who the audience is. The Pharisees are going to be the audience, and the question is asked, "Who is he?" And if you're thinking, well, I don't know if that's for sure yet, let's just jump ahead to the end of this section, verses 19 through 21, and let's just confirm that that's what's really going on here. At these words, at the conclusion of Jesus' comments, the Jews were again divided many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" What question were they trying to answer? Who is he? Who is Jesus? And some are saying, this is who he is. He's a demon-possessed man. And others are saying, how can a demon-possessed man heal a blind man? That doesn't make any sense. So who is Jesus? Well, let's start by looking at the parable of the shepherd. Start in verse 1 of chapter 10. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Did they not have sheep in the first century? Did they not have shepherds in the first century? Were these just city folk who don't understand about sheep and shepherds? Or were they just having trouble connecting the dots about what Jesus is really saying about who the sheep are, who the thieves and robbers are, and who the shepherd is? He tries to be specific and tell them about the kind of sheep that the shepherd owns. They're the kind of sheep that listen to his voice. They're the kind of sheep who know who he is. They recognize him. He calls them by name and they follow him. They follow him, they recognize him, they know him. There's this relationship that the sheep has with the shepherd. That's not so with the thief or with the robber. They sneak in by some other way. And if you've ever been around any kind of livestock, maybe just briefly, they either will spook easy from your presence, or maybe if you've been around them a lot, maybe they're just kind of used to you. Or maybe they come running to you because you feed them cake or corn, or you know, they just come right over because they're expecting, I know them, and they're going to feed me. They're going to bring me something good. They're going to care for me. And there's a huge difference there. I can remember growing up as a kid being on the ranch and going out and feeding cows with my dad. And the cows would come and he would be caking them, and not actual birthday cake, but it's processed cake. It's a little different. I'll tell you about it later. But we'd have it in these 5-gallon buckets, and he'd shake it out. He would just shake the bucket, and the cows would hear that cake rattling in the bucket, and they'd just come running. He'd dump it out on the ground, and whether it was in the snow, they'd just lick it all up. They loved it. I mean, the cow, even cattle and sheep are the same way. They recognize those who are providing for them. They recognize the good that is being provided for them. And they know if something is amiss, if something is not quite right. As if any one of us tried to go out and, you know, feed sheep and not having experience doing that before. They would be very timid. They'd be very shy. They'd probably spook pretty easy because we don't look right, we don't sound right, and we're probably not doing something right. It just takes a lot of experience and a lot of getting to know them for that to happen. But they didn't understand it. The Pharisees didn't understand who Jesus was saying that who he was. So he tries to just be perfectly clear. Let me just be perfectly clear about who Jesus is. And so he says, let me just explain the parable. And he's done that before. Sometimes he does that just for his disciples and explain something to them. But here, he just lays it all out there. And in verse 7, he says, "Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus is the gate. He's the door. So who are those who came before Jesus? Well, there were many who came before trying to deceive and lead astray the sheep, trying to lead astray God's people. And remember who he's talking to. Remember, he's talking to the Pharisees. Are they well known for being good shepherds of God's people? Pretty interesting here that he sort of contrasts thieves and robbers with himself being the gate. He says, verse 9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be safe, will be saved, will be kept safe." This speaks to Jesus' significance. His significance as the Savior of God's people. Of those who need to be saved, who need to be rescued. Jesus is going to provide that. Going through him, you'll receive that. At the end of verse 9, he says, "He will come in and go out and find pasture." You know, it's one thing, you know, to either see this happen to sheep or to happen to cattle. I've seen it happen to cattle. And on one occasion, that we had a neighbor, and the grass on that side of the fence was, I mean, it was shorter than a mower could reach. And you could even tell where the fence wires had been stretched, where cattle had been leaning their heads through the fence, you know, trying to eat grass on the other side of the fence. And on one occasion where those cattle didn't have any water, and so fences were even let down to, you know, try to water cattle. There's a book that I've been reading. It's entitled "A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23" by Philip Keller, and he describes a situation that he came upon with a neighbor, with a tenant sheepman, someone who was caring for sheep. And he describes this situation. He says, "The tenant sheepman on the farm next to my first ranch was the most indifferent manager I had ever met. He was not concerned about the condition of his sheep. His land was neglected. He gave little or no time to his flock, letting them pretty well forage for themselves as best they could, both summer and winter. They fell prey to dogs, cougars, and rustlers. Every year, these poor creatures were forced to gnaw away at bare brown fields and impoverished pastures. Every winter, there was a shortage of nourishing hay and wholesome grain to feed the hungry ewes. Shelter to safeguard and protect the suffering sheep from storms was scantily and inadequate. They had only polluted and muddy water to drink. There had been a lack of salt and other trace minerals needed to offset their sickly pastures. In their thin, weak, and diseased condition, these poor sheep were a pathetic sight. In my mind's eye, I can still see them standing at the fence, huddled sadly in little knots, staring wistfully through the wires at the rich pastures on the other side. To all their distress and heartfelt and self, to all their distress, the heartless, selfish owner seemed utterly callous and indifferent. He simply did not care. What if his sheep did want green grass, fresh water, shade, safety, or shelter from the storms? What if they did want relief from the wounds, bruises, disease, and parasites? He ignored their needs. He couldn't care less. Why should he? They were just sheep, fit only for the slaughterhouse." You can see That sheep owner didn't care at all about providing for his sheep. He didn't care at all about being a good shepherd. But that is not who Jesus is. That's not who he represents. He represents a shepherd who does care. And he says here that those sheep, that his sheep who enter through his gate, that he will not only save, but they're going to go in and out and they're going to have pasture. They're going to be provided for. And verse 10 is one of those verses that maybe you should have highlighted. Maybe you need to have in bold letters, put it on your wall at your home. Maybe you highlight it in your Bible or underline it. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus is telling the Pharisees, he's telling the audience, he's telling us what kind of shepherd he is, who he is. He has come that we may have life. And he's telling us about the kind of life we're to have. Not impoverished or malnourished or just ignored, as in he doesn't care. But he has come to love with compassion, to fill us with hope, to fill our spirits with joy, to feed all of our needs. Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." No matter what we've experienced in our life, no matter the struggles or the trials that we've endured in our life, Jesus is there as our shepherd to provide for us, to give us that green pasture, to provide something better for us. He says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Continuing in verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. For the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired man and cares nothing for the sheep." The contrast is made here that Jesus makes with the hired hands versus the good shepherd. And there is a difference. Jesus is saying that there's a difference between being the hired hand and the good shepherd, being just the religious leaders of the day and what Jesus is saying he is. There's a difference. And that difference is looking at what happens when sin comes into your life. What happens when sin came into their lives? How did the Pharisees help them? How did they help the people? Did they care for them? Did they neglect them? Did they judge them? Did they expect them to just fix themselves, take care of themselves? Jesus is contrasting that, saying who he is. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He is the one who comes with compassion. He is the one who comes with love. He's the one who brings forgiveness. He is the one. When the struggle comes, he is not the one who's running away, but he is the one who is enduring it with you. During those difficult times in your life when you think that everyone has abandoned you, Jesus has not abandoned you. He is there. Continuing in verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd." Wait a second, he just said that. Okay, so he's saying that again. All right, so he's told his audience, "I am the gate, I am the good shepherd." No, wait, "I am the good shepherd." How plain do I have to say it? He's trying to just be so clear to tell them who he is. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Notice the repetition here of Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd." He explains his relationship to the sheep. He says, "I know them. I know them." And if you recall from the parable, he talked about calling them by name. He knows his sheep. His sheep know him. He describes that as the same sort of relationship that he has with the Father. Again, it says not only that the good shepherd lays down his life, but here in verse 15, before it just said the good shepherd lays down his life. In verse 15 it says what? It says, I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, it's one thing for us to sort of understand all of the hard work and all of the energy and all of the resources and all of the experience that it must go into taking care of 5 or 6 sheep, let alone a bunch of sheep, a band of sheep, hundreds of sheep or thousands of sheep. But it's another thing for us to understand how much Jesus loves and cares for each and every one of his people. Wanting to invest so much of his life into providing for them to the point of death. And that's not just something that he talked about. I mean, we're able to sit back and sort of look at the whole picture. And as we read this passage and as we read the parable, we're able to sort of look back and see the whole picture from the beginning of the prophecies about Jesus, you know, up until his birth, and we see that up and through his ministry and his death on the cross, and we're able to see the whole picture. And we're able to read this passage about how much Jesus loves God's people, about how much he is the good shepherd and how much he wants to provide and be that for God's people. So this is what makes Jesus the good shepherd, that he has this love for the Father and he has this love for the sheep. He has this love for you and I. But within this, answering the question of who Jesus is, we understand he's the gate. We understand that he is the good shepherd. We understand who he is. But there's got to be a message for the sheep in here somewhere as well. There is. And I'll leave you with this. This is the message for the sheep. Jesus wants you, first of all, to hear him. He wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to be listening for his voice, seeking his voice, finding his voice, finding his guidance, seeking his nourishment, allowing him to provide for you in your life. And there's so many ways in which that happens, whether that's through God's word or through the community of believers here. He wants you to hear him. And he wants you not just to hear him, but he wants you to know him. It's one thing to be listening for your name to be called. Chris, yes. Okay, I heard my name. Somebody's calling my name. It's one thing to hear your name be called, and it's another thing to know who's calling your name and to know the relationship that you have with that individual or with that person. And Jesus, here in these passages, talking about the relationship that he has with his sheep, he says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." And as God's people, as his flock, as his sheep, we must know him. We must know what He wants for us in our lives. We must know that He loves us and He wants good things for us. And sometimes that's not always what I want. But seeking Him to know Him. And lastly, is to follow Him. To follow Him. As He leads us, as He leads us out, if He is going to be our shepherd, if you have claimed Jesus as your good shepherd, as your King, as your Savior, then you're going to follow Him. You're going to follow Him and He's going to lead you out to good pasture. He's going to lead you out that you may have life and have it to the full. And we must be willing to follow Him. So in conclusion of our study of the parable of the shepherd and his flock, we see that so many struggled to answer the question of who Jesus is. But Jesus is clearly trying to tell us not only who He is, but what we as His sheep should be doing. And if you need more nourishment, add Psalm 23 to your reading list for this week, to your scripture reading list, and allow that and these thoughts from God's Word to feed you throughout the week. And if you have any need that this church can provide, whether it's prayers or to respond to God's invitation, you can come now while we stand and while we sing.